Grace, mercy, and peace God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be unto you all. Our text is the second lesson for today, so I will not read it again. You will have that in front of you. In Christ Jesus, dear friends, it was a daring thing for Pastor Dave to do to ask me to preach to you on Pentecost. It really was, because some people probably will be a little upset with what I say. Some people might be a little fearful. Some people will be like my brother-in-law always was. Every time he heard me preach, he'd say, they always call me Uncle John, sir. He taught all five of the boys to call me sir. And he'd say, John, sir, that sermon was just what was needed by somebody I know. So, here we are, Pentecost Sunday. This week has been a stormy week. We were in Branson, but every day were storms here, hail, wind, tornado. And day after day, here, different spots and all over the U.S. Storms were around. It wasn't that long ago we saw an eclipse in the middle of the day, and we were in Branson, and we were almost totally full, but it still didn't get that dark. I thought of the eclipse when Jesus was hanging on the cross. That wasn't an eclipse. God held his hand over the sun, and it was totally darkness. But you remember what happened when he did that, when he was hung on the cross? The wind shattered the rocks. There were earthquakes. The curtain to the temple was rent in two. Darkness for 3 hours. Remember who said what it really was? It was the centurion that said, certainly this was the Son of God. Remember that? And we look at what's happened. We look at the picture here, and maybe we would do it if a big ball of fire came in here and rolled down the aisle here, and then it started jumping on everybody's heads, and the wind blowing and gusting. Might be a little unusual. But you know what? When that happened, that first Pentecost, were the people terrified? Like we would be? They knew what it meant. They knew what it meant. It meant God was there. God was there. This was very clear to them what it was throughout the scripture. That jotted down some things with the fire and the wind. Moses with the burning bush. Remember that? The fire. Israelites were led. I don't know if I got that handy, but do you remember what as they went? They had the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day that led them. Remember when Elijah fled for his life from Jezebel trying to kill him? And he was so distressed, so sad. This Elijah, one of the greatest of prophets, Elijah that was so strong in his faith and witness ministry that God decided he didn't even need to die. He took him to heaven in a fiery chariot. But Elijah was scared of Jezebel. And he ran away, Lord, take my life. They're going to kill me. She's going to kill me. Remember, he ran away and ran away and ran and finally hid in a cave. And God sent a great wind over there, shook the rocks and everything around him. But God wasn't in the wind. And then an earthquake that shook the whole earth. God wasn't in the earthquake. And a still small voice. And God God spoke to him. This is the whole point of Pentecost. That God was there. He thought he was all alone. God was showing him his power. And God shows us his power through the law. He wants us to tremble when the law hits us. He wants us to tremble and shake. But then he comes to us with a still, small voice. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. God was present on Pentecost. And God is present today. And that's what he tries to tell us. We look around us in the world today, and it's a scary place to live. The rioting all across our nation. Then let up. Kill the Jews. Kill them all. Kill them all. Coast to coast. It's still happening. It was still on the news this morning. There were more rioting in New York. Kill all the Jews. What does that make you think of? Remember? Did anybody see Esther? The Branson? Beautiful movie. Beautiful movie. The story of Esther. What was going to happen? All the Jews were going to be killed. What was happening when Moses was born? All the baby boys were to be killed. What happened when Jesus was born? All the baby Jewish boys to be killed in Bethlehem. All of this killing of the Jews, and now it's there in the world today. And if America stands by and lets this go on and doesn't stop it right now, next is going to be the Catholics. And then there's the Baptists. And then finally we get down to the Lutherans. But if we don't stop it, it's going to happen. That's what's happening in the world. And we don't know what the answer is. The riots around us, the killing of the babies, remind us of all the babies in America that are being killed. And with all the situation in the world today, I just saw the news yesterday, with all the Ukraine, Israel, Russia, China, the border, everything that's happening, the rioting. For many, the biggest thing at the upcoming election is abortions. We want to be able to kill our babies. That's our nation. That's our nation. And that's what's scary about today. Because that's where we are today. And what does it tell us? That God is present. That God is here. And he has shown his presence by the wind, the storms, the plagues, the 10 plagues. I am sure if certain people today were around then during the 10 plagues, you know what would have caused them? Global warming. I'll guarantee you. Because the world forgets that God's in charge of this world. We can't take it away. We can't build it up. God is the one in charge. And that's the message he gives to us today. How long does America have before God loses his patience? Remember with the Israelites? When they would get so bad that they were living like the wicked, God allowed an enemy to come in and take over. How about America today? How long will God let America stand today before he allows someone to take over America? Killing, killing, killing. Even the New Testament. Remember Saul of Tarsus? His job was to kill Christians before God took him and turned him around. And we look at our border today, the last 3 years, is 10 million come across that we know of. They verified, I heard it again last night, that nearly 2 million in 3 years have gotten away. That they won't know who they are. You remember what happened 23 years ago when 19 men that were here on a visa, but they overstayed their visa? 9/11 happened. How many millions could be in our country today? They were showing the thousands of Chinese coming in, all able-bodied men. I remember when one Chinese tried to defect during the Olympics, and China was up in an uproar. They're going to lose one of these people to America. But today, they all come in. So where do we stand? We stand in the presence of God. We stand at the mercy of God. And we stand pleading God to be with us and give us that strength day by day to fight that fight of faith against the devil, the world, and our flesh. Pentecost was when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. And that Holy Spirit is still there today. The Holy Spirit is still here today. Maybe not with a ball of fire in the tongues, but wherever the word and the sacrament are preaching, there is God in the midst of us. Jesus made that very clear, that we have here the Holy Spirit working in our midst. He is here holding us in the faith and building us up in the faith. And our text says they were all in one accord in the same place. That was important. They were all there, Pentecost. Because of what happened not many years later, remember in Hebrews, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. What he's saying is, some are bumming church. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. COVID tried to do that again. COVID. God talks to us through all of these things. I still think God was speaking and is speaking to us through COVID to show us dependence upon Him. But God is present. He is here today. He is here every day we gather around the Word and the sacraments. He is here in the sermon. He is here in the hymns. Sometimes we think, oh, the hymns, I don't want to be involved. You know, to me, my faith is built up the most when I have a church full of people singing around me, and some of them sing as badly as I do, because God didn't say you have to have a good voice to sing. Sing out from your heart is what He tells us, and that's what's important, to sing out together the praises of God and the hymns. Look at the hymns. When we sing them, they tie in with the sermon. What was the sermon hymn? Anybody remember now? Anybody can say it? God Himself is present. That's the theme. God is here. God is here. The communion hymns. Again, I was debating in which to preach on, whether Jesus foretelling Pentecost or preach on this, because then it was going to be peace and power. The peace came upon them in Pentecost and the power to go out and preach the word. So I chose the hymns during communion are peace and power. That you'll see this. This is the way the service is tied together. And that's so important in our lives that we realize what we get here is what we need to hold us in the faith in this wicked world today. That we never know if it will be here tomorrow. We never know if we will be here tomorrow. But this is where we come to let God work upon us. He comes here to hammer us with the law. Yes, He does. He hammers us with the law. And some people are upset maybe that I preach too strong a law. Sometimes you read all of Jesus' sermons. See how balanced he was. His sermons sometimes were almost all law. But always there comes the gospel. There must be law to show us our sins, our weaknesses, our fears, and all of these things. But then must the gospel come with its medicine, the healing. Son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. Then what did he all say? Go and sin no more.
Yes.
But you and I know we're going to sin some more. We're going to sin day after day. And day after day, that Holy Spirit is there. That loving forgiveness in Jesus Christ on the cross every day as we fall into sin. He is there immediately to give us forgiveness. But we're trapped in a world with all kinds of luxuries, all fancy appliances, boats, vehicles, airplanes, and yet sometimes we're trapped in that world. There was something happened in 1939. I was 2 years old, so I don't remember, but I read about it. There was a submarine sank with 19 people on board. Anybody remember reading about that? 19 people on board. They were down in the bottom of the ocean, but they couldn't come up. They had food. They had water. They had air that was going to last so long. All of the luxuries down there, but they couldn't come up. It was 4 months before they were able to raise that submarine and take out 99 bodies of the young seamen. And they did rebuild that submarine, and they used it in World War II. And in World War II, it was bombed and sank with more people yet on board. But we are kind of like those 99. We're trapped in this world, a world around us that seems to grow more wicked every day. A world that is turning away from God. And here we are enjoying this world. The stock market, an all-time high it hit. Was it Friday, I think? All-time closed at over 40,000. Stock market, all-time high. Morality in America, all-time low. God indeed is talking. And he needs to talk to us. We need to hear this law and gospel every day. We can't say everything is fine. I got everything I need. God, that's okay. I'll take care of myself. We need God every day. We cannot go forward every day. We get up in the morning. We don't know what's going to happen the next day. We're totally in the hands of God. Whether it be storms or earthquakes, tornadoes, war, plague, whatever it is, God is still there for us. The hand of God is heavy upon the world, I agree today, because God is angry with the world. And we need to come before the Lord, begging and pleading for him to give us that power of the Holy Spirit, that we can try to do something in this world to get America somehow going the other direction. Then instead of going away from God, we would start coming back to God as our nation was when I started my ministry. It was a joyful time to enter the ministry in 1963 because the world was drawing closer to God. And some people said, we're going to have one super Christian church in America that everybody's going to live. So we thought. But it's worse and worse. And today the only thing we can do is come before God on our knees to know that the message of the law is not something that I know somebody out there needs to hear it, but that I need the law every day of my life to show me the end of my days, and you need to know the end of your days and know what's going on in the world and whatever happens if we have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. No man can take away from us that crown that Christ has reserved for us in heaven. Amen. And now may that wonderful peace with God, who we have through the forgiveness of our sins in Christ Jesus, hold us steadfast to the faith unto life everlasting.